Hey now, we are here. See, that's what it is. Mediocrity, episode 6. The Revenge of the Sith. Am I right, Jeremy?
That's the one.
That is the one. Is that
off
the
to
one?
A good start.
Off to a good start already. It's hot outside. Things have happened. News today. Oh my God. And just so much has happened since the last time we were here. Comic-Con happened. Movies happened. Just... we all had sex finally together. Just it got weird. So we're all sitting at this table just looking in each other's eyes. John's eating a banana. It's weird. I don't know what's going on.
Not eating it so much as I am deep-throating it.
And staring into my eyes while doing that. Some people would say, don't do that. But we are Mediocrity. This is episode 6. I'm glad we're here. 6 weeks. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Jonathan Atterbury. What's going on, Classic Wex?
Just hanging out, representing Classic Wax t-shirt here.
Yeah.
Our good friend Jonathan Kimbrell's record company.
Y'all have the same name. I like it.
It's a good name.
Do you spell... I can't remember. Do you spell yours with an A or an O?
With an A.
Okay, he spells with us an O. So yeah. You're a little different.
A little bit.
A little different. So you worked out today? You had a good workout?
Did. Have a good workout.
Good, good. He's very fit and healthy. New American Fitness. He has a book. It's on Amazon. It's awesome.
Powerful mind, powerful body.
Yes, and powerful everything else.
Powerful boners.
Yes, there you go. Powerful boners. And in between us, in between this sandwich here.
The man witch.
The man witch.
The cream filling.
The cream filling himself all over his face.
Jeremy
Magert, the amazing comic book artist and writer.
Hello.
There's a comic book convention coming up. You're gearing up for that, right?
There is. It's the Dallas Comic Book Show.
It's in Richardson at the Richardson Civic Center. So that's good. It's put on by our good friend Mark Walters from Big Fanboy. And you've been working, what, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Pretty much.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
Just drawing away?
Drawing away.
You sent me a little bit of this comic, this Primal Instinct, and I got to say, it looks pretty awesome.
Well, thank you.
I'm very excited.
We're going to have a very small run just for this show. We're making up some black and white prints of the first issue.
Really?
Yep. So we're going to debut the first issue there in black and white.
Very cool. So this is kind of like the variant, the very first kind of
bound to be a collector's item.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And again, the comic is called Primal Instinct, mm-hmm. And how you describe it is Jurassic Park meets Battlestar Galactica. Literally, every time you say that, I get hard.
Well, wait till you read the book.
Do you want to feel it?
You'll know for sure.
Well, I mean, so much has happened. But before we get into all this comic book stuff and, you know, the comic book conventions and movies, we started talking the other day after the podcast and stuff, and Jonathan and I, sometimes Jeremy, are really into horror movies and the horror aspect of it all. And I told him, you know, I went to college at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas, and about 20 minutes west of Lawrence, there's a town called Stoll, Kansas. And I told Jonathan to look it up. It's supposedly one of the 7 gates of hell. And, like, the Pope doesn't fly over it. I mean, there's just so much. So Jonathan took upon himself to do some research. He put on his glasses. He got his lab coat on.
My thinking cap.
His thinking cap. He was just naked. It was just a thinking cap.
Just a cap.
Just a cap.
Thinking cap and a pipe.
And the thinking cap is just my name for a condom. So.
There you go. It thinks for him. So tell us what you thought about Stoll.
All right. So what's going on here in Stoll, according to the website?
How do you spell Stoll?
Isn't it S-T-U-L-L?
Or yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Maybe it's S-T-O-L-L. I forget now. But it's Kansas, so who gives a shit anyways? But so with this legend, apparently, it's an old cemetery, and there's a church in this cemetery, correct?
Correct.
And it was behind the church, it's now covered with bushes, this supposed gateway to hell. And there's a lot of spooky legends, little ghost story type things. And they say if you're around there and if you go into this stairway leading into hell, that time suddenly ceases to exist normally. People go in there for a few minutes, what they think is a few minutes, and turns out to have been a few hours. Things like this. I did research it, though, and really it just seems like a tremendous amount of bullshit. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the supernatural things. I love ghost stories. I love it all. But this does seem like just some nonsense created by drunk college kids to go have a good excuse to go party at this church.
Would you go there to experience it for yourself? Because I have.
I would. I would totally go check it out if I had nothing better to do. Because why not? I like doing going to hotels that are supposedly haunted and things like that. It's just fun.
So you're a big skeptic, though. You don't want to... Because you're very skeptical.
I'm very skeptical of most things. Of course, there's that part of me that wants to believe in all of these things that I hear. But I've learned over the years to be highly skeptical. And okay. I can't help it.
So, yeah, if you're ever in the Lawrence, Kansas, or the Kansas City area, you know, a quick 20 minutes to an hour, depending on where you are, you can be in Stoll, Kansas, and witness it for yourself. It's much scarier at night. I've been there, and then I would not go up to the church at all. I don't play that.
What was your experience when you were there? That's what I want to know. And it looking was, it up. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. You're on the podcast.
Because it is STULL, just for those
okay,
who are curious.
STULL. And it is, when I've gone during the day and I've gone during the night, it's a very small town, very, very isolated. At night, it was just. It was terrifying just to be in there. It almost seemed like the air or the wind just did not move there. Like, it was just a still, eerie presence, haunting. And when you go by the cemetery, you go by that church, oh my gosh. I mean, you start to hear things. You start to, like...
What kind of things?
Just, like, weird sounds, like, unexplainable things. Like, maybe it's your mind just trying to hear stuff, but, like, you don't know. And, like, I hightail it out of there because I just... I don't want any part of that. You know, Jews don't believe in hell, but holy shit. Stoll, Kansas. I don't know. Jeremy, would you go there?
No, probably not. Not interested.
No, just not interested?
Not interested. Yeah. Not interested. I would go again. I want to go with you. It would be fun.
I would go. Definitely.
Armed with some lube and a camera. It would be a lot of fun.
And a stuffed moose.
And a stuffed moose, yes. A moose knuckle. But, well, that's Stoll. Check it out. Research it. Let us know what you think. Or if you've been there, and tell us your stories on our Twitter and Facebook. Just Three Dudes, media_Ocrity, where we're just okay. Moving on, Comic-Con, San Diego, 2016. It happened. There's too much. Let's just talk about it. First off.
Too much. We don't know.
Okay, San Diego Comic-Con. It's, for Comic-Con, there's over 1 million people that go there. And now it's really the big companies, Sony, Universal, the big movie companies. Comic books, maybe, not so much, but mostly movie and TV go there to announce their new stuff. It's not so much about the comics anymore, at San Diego at least. What
but
do you think?
It is the mecca of Comic-Cons.
Yeah, it is, because it's gigantic, because they get the biggest names, because it's right by LA, it's in San Diego, and all the movie studios go out there to promote and market. It's not really... do you think it's for the fans or no?
It is a marketing thing, but all of the big publishers go there still.
Yeah.
And typically you have a lot of publishers where they will debut new storylines there. They'll have promotional stuff like books and things that you can only get on the show, special covers, stuff like that. You do still get a lot of artists there, but you also have like a lot of the toy manufacturers, like Lego had a special Captain America figure that you could only get literally at the show, you know, that type of thing. So you still, there is a presence there still, but the biggest place for comics currently is New York Comic Con, which is, I think, in October.
So that's for the, what it's called, Comic Con. It's mm-hmm. for the comics.
It's New York Comic Con.
Yeah. Okay. So with San Diego being here and just... Would you ever go to that? Would you think your books at indie people do that? Because you could probably get a few hundred thousand people going by your table.
Yeah, I mean, the tables are expensive, but yeah, I would do it.
You would do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And then what I like about the upcoming one you're going to be at here in Dallas called mm-hmm. the Dallas Comic Show in Richardson. Mm-hmm. But because it's really affordable for everybody because yes. the Dallas Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con, the New York one, you're probably spending a few hundred dollars just to get in the door. Then you have to spend a few hundred dollars on your autographs, a mm-hmm. few hundred dollars on your photo ops, then plus the Captain America Lego figures or yeah. comics or whatever. So you could easily spend $1,500 to $2,000.
Oh, very easily.
Where at here, the one you're going to be at, you could bring a couple hundred dollars and get everything you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, like the VIP pass for this show is $45.
See, that's...
And it comes with an exclusive DC Comics Suicide Squad cover that was only available at San Diego Comic-Con.
Wow. So there it is right there.
I'm trying to see if I can get Mark to sell me one.
Well, maybe he will. Maybe he'll listen. But let's talk about... So, movies and TV are the big thing at Comic-Con San Diego. Jonathan, what was the one thing, what two things that came out of San Diego this year that you really just got you up in arms?
Well, the things that got me really excited, I've really enjoyed the new Doctor Strange trailer.
It was a strange trailer, wasn't it?
It was. It almost felt like Doctor Strange meets Inception.
Yes.
That's how the trailer feels looking at it, but it was totally far out and I liked it. I think the number one thing that really had me, like, standing up, jumping for joy was the reveal of the Blair Witch Project.
Dude, sequel. That trailer was amazing.
Well, I'd seen the trailer already when it was just as the woods, right?
Right.
When it was just a shortened up version, a little yeah. bit more mysterious. And I'd been excited about watching the woods. And then hearing, oh my gosh, this is the Blair Witch Project, that just totally made my day. Because we've talked about the Blair Witch Project and how much that scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing that at the Inwood Theater at midnight a few weeks before it actually was released, and I was scared.
One of those few movies that really did scare me and leaves you creeped out afterwards. So this looks like it's going to be really good, too.
Yeah, it looks like it's a sequel... Yeah. Partly, and maybe a revamp at the same time.
It looks like a sequel to me. And from what I was looking at online, it's a true sequel.
That sounds good to me. I was looking forward to that. What trailers did you see from Comic-Con? Did you see Wonder Woman, Justice League, or...?
Let's see. I watched Wonder Woman. I watched Justice League. I watched Kong. I think those were the three trailers. And I watched the new Suicide Squad trailer as well.
Okay. So what do you think? You know, you're into comics. You like the video games. You like these movies. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
About which one?
All of them. Are you excited? Is the one you like particularly better than the other one?
Yeah, well, you know, for my Kong trailer, I would have liked a tad more Kong.
Well, it's a 2.5 hour, it's a 2.5 minute teaser,
yeah.
Which I feel like they showed so much of the movie already.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like I know everything that happens just without Kong.
Yeah, correct.
So, you know, I would have liked to have seen that and get a real kind of overall sense for how big he actually is, like, in the trailer. If they're going to do, you know, they're going to film this, then they're going to film a Godzilla, and then, you know, a Kong versus Godzilla. Again, I would like to actually, you know, I want to see it all.
You want to see it now, oh, yeah. Right now,
I want to see fast. Every bit of Kong.
Kong
Dong.
Yep. Absolutely.
I hear he hangs Dong in that. Yeah, I'll say that the Justice League trailer, Zack Snyder got the memo, I think, and we all have seen Batman v Superman, and Zack Snyder is doing Justice League, and it looks like Justice League looks fun. It looks funny.
Really? It still looks like dog shit to me.
What? Really? Why does it look like dog shit? What part of that looked like dog shit to you?
What part of it didn't look like dog shit, I think, is a better question. Really? I mean, so after having watched Batman v Superman...
Oh, yeah. First off, let's just talk about that. You finally watched it.
I did.
You loved it, right?
Oh, no. I didn't.
He had a twitch in his eye. He's like, oh, God.
He's not having the sarcasm there.
No, he was not.
I less than loved it. It was probably my least favorite movie that I've seen this year. Aside from, like, just some random shit that I turn out on Netflix, like when I'm looking for something to watch, this was the first, like, full movie I've watched. Because usually if I'm just scanning through Netflix, I'll give it 10 minutes, and if it sucks, I'll turn it off. But this shit, I watched the whole way through.
And it's like a 3-hour movie.
And it was 3 hours of my life that I'm never getting back. And I'm a little pissed about it.
So you don't even think, like, visually it looked good?
It looked good when you could... you know, see through the million second edits, basically. When
okay,
it's just like
the two things, maybe two or three things that you liked about the movie.
I love Batfleck. Batfleck was awesome. I liked the bat suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I always approve of Jeremy Irons.
Ever since Lion King and Scar and Die Hard 3.
Yeah.
Gruber's brother, yeah. Simon.
So yeah, I think it was just the stuff related to the Batman that I liked. Although I did think, I mean, there's just everything else about the movie pissed me off though. Everything else.
So when you were watching it, what were your reactions? Because you live tweeted it, right?
I did,
and
yeah.
You did a really good job with all the GIFs and everything.
Thank you.
I can just imagine you watched it like, oh, how much more? There's like, oh my God, there's 2 hours and 15 more minutes
yeah.
of this movie.
I paused it to you know, take a bathroom break or two, and every time I pause, I'm like, Jesus, is there really still this much left of this movie? And it just went on forever. I mean, there are some movies that when you're enjoying them, it just goes by so fast. And then this one was just like, I felt like I was watching Roots. This
Batman v Superman equals Roots.
But way more boring.
Way more boring. So I've got to talk to you. I mostly feel the same way you do about the movie, but our good friend, the cream filling of our manwich here, actually, I think, liked the movie. You liked Batman v Superman more than both of us,
well,
right?
Well, I was, you know, honestly, I was expecting a worse movie than what I got.
Okay.
But you gave it a 6.
I did give it a 6. That's because I still, and that's for things like I really dug, I still always like Henry Cavill as Superman.
I do too.
You know, even for the limited amount that he's in the movie, you know, I enjoyed the small amount of Wonder Woman that we had. You know, I loved, you know, all the Batfleck stuff. That was all great. You know, a lot of, you know, his fight scenes, you know, like when he goes to rescue Martha. Yeah, those things were great. I mean, there was a lot of, like, plot holes and things in there. Like, you know, Batman killed way too many people in that movie for me. That's kind of supposed to be the line that he doesn't cross. And I figured, you know, if you're going to make that movie, it's like, I get it. He's kind of like the jaded Batman at this point. You know, he's been around for a long time. But I feel like the only person that he should really have, that it would have been acceptable for him to have murdered in that movie, was the dude that had the flamethrower, like, pointed at, you know, at Supta's mom.
Right.
That's the only one. Everybody else, I'm kind of like, you know, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
And then there's things like, how does Clark Kent not know who Bruce Wayne is? You know, it's like, everybody is going to, you know, somebody like that, everybody would know. How has he never heard of the, like, how has he lived on Earth for that long and not heard of the
Batman?
Well,
it's the same thing why nobody recognizes Clark Kent and Superman. So, same principle, right?
Well, that's one of those things where, think about how many people interact with both of those characters
mm-hmm.
at any given time. And
right.
The only one really is Lois Lane.
Yeah, no, you're right. And
I mean, my thing is, I always figured that, like, at some point, like, Perry White probably figured it out pretty quickly. Kind of like how James Gordon would have figured
okay.
out that Bruce Wayne is Batman. It probably really wouldn't have taken him that long to put it together.
All right.
So,
you guys both like Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman?
Yeah, I like Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two thumbs down from me.
Why?
Well, if we're talking physically, I cannot stand her appearance as Wonder Woman. She
Ooh,
looks like she does.
Right
that's
now.
Fine. I'm gonna stand by the fact that I think that the Amazon princess needs to look like she lifts more than five pound dumbbells. Because this, I mean, Gal Gadot really. Just, I mean, she looks. Doesn't look bad by any stretch of the imagination. She looks healthy and she looks fit.
So, okay, I get what you're saying. You think the Wonder Woman should be kind of like, not, you know, what, like a China-esque.
I'm not expecting China.
No, but like, like, you know, a physical presence, like, of
just
commanding.
Just give her a little bit more. Just, I would prefer to see, like, they actually had her doing some deadlifts and squats before they put her in the role of Wonder Woman. Because just if you're supposed to be believable, I can't see, you know, her holding the sword against Doomsday with a little arm that's about as thick as, you know, a pencil.
Well, let me pose this question to you again. So in the first Superman movie, when the rocket crashes and the little kid comes out and they're jacking up the car and the car falls and then the little kid, like, lifts it up, do you question the strength of the little kid?
Well,
or is it viable?
It's laughable. When I watch that movie, you just laugh at that scene. I don't take it seriously. Like, when I watch the Christopher Reeves, there are very few things about the Christopher Reeves Superman movies that when I watch, I go, that's silly, because the whole thing is silly, and I'm okay with that. But in this whole world that they're trying to create for the DC, like, kind of darker, more realistic world that they've got going on, I just don't buy it. On top of that, there's nothing about her that's physically imposing, and I feel like she should at least have a little bit, like, looks like she do more than Zumba, you know what I mean?
I liked her as Wonder Woman. I bought it. I'm happy for her. I like it.
I did like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved the stuff in the trailer. Uh-huh. Her, like, kicking ass with the lasso, and the lasso's glowing, and she's just wrecking those dudes and fucking them up. I thought that was great.
Yeah. Well, I think Wonder Woman's going to be a really cool movie. They showed that trailer. It'll be
good. To me, I feel like it's going to be a lot different, because even if you just look at, like, the pictures you've seen, like, when you had the Batman v Superman, it was a very muted colors, like, on her costume.
Uh-huh.
It's, like, a very dark red, like, a very, you know, very muted dark blue. And it's, like, the second I saw the picture for the poster, it's, like, it's red, it's blue, it's, you know, it is legit, like, actual closer to Wonder Woman colors.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, like, first off, Batman v Superman is on Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray, 4K UHD. There's tons of awesome extras on it, all worth watching. Video is decent just because it's all, you know, covered in, like, the darkness and grays and stuff.
It looks and sounds incredible.
Yeah, the audio is amazing.
The 3D, I watched it in 3D. Okay. I watched it too, and it looked really solid.
Okay, good. So, yeah, visually stunning, but there's nothing funny about it. It takes itself too seriously, and as it brings us to,
it's incoherent. It felt like it was drunk the entire time.
Zack Snyder was trying. So Justice League, that trailer, it was fun. There were funny moments. That the introduction to the Flash was really good. I thought that trailer was great. I feel like he got, you know, feedback and he's taking it.
Well, so my big beef with that trailer, I think the number one thing I want to point out is that you see Aquaman drinking his Jack Daniels bottle and throwing it into the ocean. Is Aquaman a litterer?
Yes.
Really?
He just talks to fish.
I don't see that. I mean, and if they're going to go that route, then I think that the big villain in that movie, or the protagonist, should really be Captain Planet versus Aquaman.
Hey, but you know, in Man of Steel and in this Batman v Superman, these characters are not, like, perfect heroes. They're, like, darker and have problems and shit.
But what a dick. I mean, you got to be a big dick to throw... If you're Aquaman...
Superman took out skyscrapers.
He's an alien. He doesn't give a shit. He's like putting a giant toddler in a 20-foot-tall body.
I'm just saying, he took down multiple skyscrapers, and Aquaman just throws a bottle of whiskey for his fish friends to get a little drunk.
He's pouring one out for his homies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you don't litter, huh?
He did technically command all those fish to go to that village to feed those people and die.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a little brutal.
And he is technically their king. So he was like, hey, you're going to go here, and these guys are going to fucking eat you.
How like every king throughout history.
Feeding
your subjects to the rich.
One other weird thing about that trailer is it, you know, I mean, I get you're going to kind of, they're clearly bringing everyone together around Batman, but it's a little weird that the recruiting is being done as Bruce Wayne and not Batman. Like, he's just walking around asking people to join what is the unnamed Justice League, full on telling him who he is before he even gets a maybe.
Yeah.
He's fully outing himself. Like, he outed himself as Batman to Barry Allen by throwing the batarang without, you know, and maybe there's more explanation in the movie, but it's very weird that he's doing it, like, as Bruce Wayne and not as Batman.
Yeah, because that scene, you have just him in there, and Barry has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And to do that, and I guess for Bruce Wayne to see who he really is, he throws it just to see, you know, the lightning quick flash movement. And then you see it, and you're like, and he immediately, that facial expression, he knows exactly who it is. And immediately he's like, oh, I'm in. No, I don't care. Yeah. That was a really funny, good moment.
Do you like the guy that he cast as Barry Allen?
Absolutely. I love that actor. He was in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Something About Kevin.
Yeah. That one was extremely brutal and scary.
I like that movie, but I don't think I like him as this role.
Really?
In my mind, after having seen Something About Kevin, I definitely have typecast him a bit. There's just...
So have you seen him in Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yes.
Oh, see, I liked him in that.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
See, for me, the Flash stuff is weird because I enjoy the Flash TV show so much. So it's the first time we've really ever had anybody. So, I mean, normally we've had Batman, right? It's like you have a Batman, then there's a break, and then there's a new Batman. This is the first time we've ever had two people kind of playing the same character simultaneously.
Right. Now, is the guy in the show and the guy in the movie, is that the same Flash?
No.
Well, they're both Barry Allen.
Yeah.
But it's not the same
an actor.
Think about it just like alternate universes.
It's kind of like Smallville and Superman Returns, how there were different... Okay. Like, Superman's there, too.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, see, it's kind of like comic books. At some point, there's always, like, three or four Spider-Man stories going on.
Yeah. Ezra Miller may have the hardest job of everyone in that because so many people love Grant Gustin as the Flash so hard.
Right.
And it's going to be, you know, he's going to have to be awesome, you know, and his character's going to have to be a little bit different, you know, for people to really kind of want to watch it and accept it.
But right.
I don't dig his Flash suit.
You don't believe a Flash suit?
It looks
yet.
Like a Red Power Ranger.
It looks like Injustice. Do you remember that game?
I never played that one.
Yeah, you did. It was the one where it was Mortal Kombat with the Justice League characters. I think we played that a little bit together. But it looks just like the suit that they had in that him. It's kind of like an armor.
To me,
I look at it
and everybody else has their suits. And then he looks like he's cosplaying as a Red Power Ranger.
He's a kid. He doesn't know. Maybe he gets an upgrade or suit or something like that. And then we have the Kong Skull Island trailer, which I don't know. Is this like the prequel to like King Kong? Is that what they're billing this as?
I'm not really sure.
Maybe it's a reboot completely.
Because we saw people like with film cameras there, but I haven't seen any character names, but... I don't know if they're rebooting Kong from 2005.
It looked like it. I mean, especially if they're going to bill him as being like three times larger than the other Kong.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm all on board with this.
I think he's going to be Godzilla size, like size of like Godzilla in the last, like the Gareth Edwards.
Okay. Well, they are making a King Kong versus Godzilla movie that is happening. But this Kong Skull Island, I mean, you've got Samuel Jackson, you've got John Goodman, you've got...
Hiddleston.
I mean, that's a pretty solid cast.
Sign me up, man. Yeah, I'm excited about
Michael Keaton, I think, was supposed to be in that movie, too, but, like, they couldn't start filming quick enough, so he had to drop out.
Okay. Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
That looked good.
And what's the girl's name? The one that just got cast is Captain Marvel?
Oh,
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson, who was in the room. Well. And
Scott Pilgrim.
Short Term 12, The League. Awesome.
Yeah, Brie Larson's great. So she's in Kong, and the other big news about her was that she's been cast as Captain Marvel. Yeah, Carol Danvers.
She was in the remake of 21 Jump Street, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as well. So, yeah, she's huge right now.
You guys happy with the casting of her as Carol Danvers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be great.
She will be awesome.
Yeah,
she's
no doubt.
She's an excellent actress. She's badass. I've seen her do very dramatic to very funny.
She doesn't look like she's buff or anything, but no part of her being Carol Danvers bothers me.
Why is that? Why does Gal Gadot bother you and not her?
I don't know. It's just this different character. You know what I mean? I don't expect Carol Danvers to look buff. I do expect Wonder Woman to look buff.
Who would you cast as Wonder Woman?
I don't know. But Gal Gadot does a fine job of the acting and everything. I would just train her differently. As her personal trainer, I just would have, you know, given
her a personal trainer and you're coming out.
Well, I mean, it just seems...
Like, I'm available.
It just seems a little sexist to me, honestly, when you've got Batman, Superman, you got all these guys, and when you get... You know, Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck and Chris Hemsworth, all these guys have to get on steroids and get giant and jacked for their roles. And they're doing, like, months and months of bulking and working out, everything Hugh Jackman goes through. And it's intense, right? And then you've got Gal Gadot. And not to say that she didn't have to work for her body. I'm sure she has had to do a lot, you know, to maintain the shape she's in. But... She doesn't look any different in this role versus the previous roles that you saw her in. So it's not like she had to go through some intense physical conditioning to sell the part of being a superhero.
Right.
And I think that it should be the same for both. I mean, people want to see strong males as their leads, and I think people want to see strong females, too. And that does transfer to being a physical thing as well. It can't just be an attitude.
I like how you said that with the eyes roll. This can't be attitude.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's got to be both. And if they're expecting it out of the dudes, it's only fair to expect it from the women, too.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, I mean, we should be casting Tom Hiddleston as Thor.
Or he auditioned for it.
Yeah, exactly. Or just let Chris Hemsworth be Thor before he got big. You know what I mean?
He's Loki, though, and he's great as Loki.
But if he took his shirt off, I don't know if you'd be like, woo!
I have no idea. What else came out of? Was there any big comic? Oh wait, we haven't gone into like the Netflix Marvel.
Yeah,
stuff.
There was a whole bunch of stuff there.
So we got Legion is one of them.
Well, that's FX.
Okay, that's FX. So what is that? What is that exactly?
I have no idea what Legion is.
Well, Legion is. There's a couple Fox shows, and I'm getting them a little confused. But in the comics, my understanding is that Legion is the son of Professor Xavier and Myra McTaggart. I'm a little fuzzy on like some of like the kind of like fringe X-Men characters. But it doesn't seem like that's the case in this show. So, you know, and then there's another... I don't know if this is the same one or if this is different, but then there's another show where they're doing... where some parents have given birth to a mutant and he's really powerful, and I think that's what the Legion show is, and they're basically on the run, like, from the government.
Okay. So, yeah, there's that. What are the Netflix shows, though?
Luke Cage.
Which they premiered that trailer.
I'm so ready for that.
Which looked fantastic.
The reaction to that has been pretty astounding. Like, people are super excited about it.
He was fantastic in Jessica Jones. So, I mean, the whole time I was watching that, I was just I'm ready for an entire Luke Cage show.
There are literally so many comic book movies and shows right now.
It's exciting, and they all look fantastic. All the Marvel stuff is killer.
Right.
DC can suck a dick.
You do not have a DC fan here. He's not like Batman. You liked Man of Steel.
I loved Man of Steel.
There you go. You like DC.
Yeah.
What else there besides Luke Cage was there?
Iron Fist. There's just a little teaser we got for
that. Iron Fist.
There was a sort of teaser for the Defenders.
Mainly just kind of taking audio clips from other things.
That it's coming.
Yeah. Okay.
Which will be awesome. Because that's going to be the joining of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Daredevil. And Iron Fist. The Avengers on Netflix.
Unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. It's just, you think about this, and you think about to a time 10 years ago where none of this was really happening. Like, in 2006, we really had nothing. I mean, yes, in 2000, X-Men started it all, but it wasn't until really Jon Favreau's Iron Man when...
It exploded.
It exploded all over our faces. And now literally every network, every channel, every streaming service has their own original content. And a lot of that is comic book related.
Netflix is killing it, though. I want to just go say how much I love Netflix.
Seriously, well, because they're bringing back Gilmore Girls. They brought back Arrested Development, you know.
And not only are they reviving so many of these shows that have been lost because they just didn't have the network support, but they're just, the original content is insanely good.
It's Stranger Things.
Did you watch it?
I'm 6 episodes in.
And what do you think so far?
It's one of my favorite shows of the year.
I agree.
It's so good. So good. But it's, yeah, Netflix is doing so well right now, and it just... When are we going to start seeing reboots of things? Like, I guess we saw a reboot of Daredevil already with Daredevil, but, like, when are they going to reboot Iron Man? When are they going to reboot...
I don't know.
They rebooted Spider-Man 100 times.
I'm just waiting for the day that we hear the continuation of Firefly on Netflix. And I also heard that they may be picking up the Jonathan Rhys-Meyers Dracula show that got canceled.
Oh, all right.
Which would be cool. I haven't seen it, but crazy. I've heard nothing but good things about that show.
I like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yeah, he's great. And I just want to see more. I just want Netflix to be doing
more. So you want
more,
so you don't think it's oversaturated right now?
No, it's not oversaturated, because most of it's good.
Okay.
Which I'm fine with.
Jeremy, I agree.
You
bring it all
the
on.
More. I know you got a chance, or you got the Lego Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
I have not watched it
yet. You have not watched it yet? I was curious on your thoughts.
I'll probably have to like squeeze it in after the comic convention.
Okay, all right. So we'll ask a couple weeks later, because I'm curious to see how it stacks up to Dawn of Justice.
Now, this is not con related, but I watched Green Room the other day.
Okay.
I told you about that.
Okay, Green Room. Green Room is in my top 10 movies of the year. I loved it. I saw it, gosh, last September at a festival called Fantastic Fest, which is coming up. It's in Austin. It's amazing. It's by the same guys who did Blue Ruin, and it has Sir Patrick Stewart, Captain Picard, as a Nazi. He's ruthless.
And terrifying.
So, what did you think of Green Room?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I would give it a 9 out of 10. It was almost a perfect movie.
I'm glad to hear you say that. It's so good. It's and you haven't seen Blue Ruin yet.
I have right? not. It's sitting right over there. I've got to watch that. Is it also the same as good?
It's the same people.
Okay.
It's so good.
I got to say, so far, after all the horror movies that I've seen this year, Green Room was the scariest movie that I've seen this year.
So Green Room is not your typical horror movie. There's no monsters. There's no.
It's not even a horror movie.
Yeah.
Really.
So why is it so scary to you?
It's because it's realistic. It's because you can see these kinds of situations.
Is it a claustrophobic type of thing when they're like trapped in kind of like a green room at a punk club?
Well, it's not just the claustrophobia. I mean, that is scary, but it was the whole situation because you know at some point that thing has happened. That somebody has gone through a situation very much like that.
Hey, Blair Witch stuff has happened.
Maybe. So that's what I find scariest. I mean, it's one thing if you're watching Lights Out or something and you go, ooh, this is scary, but you don't really, it doesn't hit home.
Uh-huh.
But then when you watch something like this, the way the violence is portrayed and the way the injuries are sustained, things like that, it's just so much more visceral and real. But the whole time I was watching that movie, I just was like, ugh, I had to stop and breathe. Because I would find myself sitting there with a knot in my stomach the whole time. And I loved it.
And the music's great.
The music's great.
I like the music. Oh, if you like punk music.
The everything about that movie was fantastic.
I'm so glad you liked it. So glad. You need to watch it, Jeremy.
I think you'll really enjoy it.
What else came out of Comic-Con? What comic book stuff? Did they did Marvel or DC or Image unveil anything from Comic-Con?
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember there was some cool Star Wars news.
What's the Star Wars
news? I don't know if it came out of Comic-Con or if it came out of the Star Wars Celebration. But two things, and John will probably find this cool, is that for Season 3 of Rebels, they have announced that Admiral Thrawn will be in the show.
He's going to be canon now.
And that's cool because that means he's canon.
Okay, so tell our listeners who only really watch the main movies, who is this character?
Go ahead.
All right. So anyone who's read the Timothy Zahn books, which is kind of I would say was the revival of the Star Wars mania.
Timothy Zahn
is the author's name. He kind of rekindled the passion for Star Wars in the late 90s. Wouldn't you agree? He came out with a series of books called The Hand of Thrawn, something along the lines of that. And they're just insanely good books. They take place pretty close after Return of the Jedi. And now Han and Leia are officially an item. You've got he made the characters Mara Jade, and a lot of characters that are huge, what people consider to be like really important characters, that then when Disney took over, they're like, nothing is canon. Like, we're not taking any of this. But a lot of real big Star Wars fans love their Timothy Zahn characters and storylines.
Yeah. So who's this Thrawn?
So Grand Admiral Thrawn was the big bad guy in this trilogy of novels that Timothy Zahn wrote. He was the last true great leader of the Empire and a very frightening character. He had blue skin and red eyes. I don't remember what his race
was. Like a Chiss, I think is what it was called. Something like that.
He had just an incredible presence, basically, this character. He's a tactical mastermind.
He was the tactical, like, genius behind the Empire and, like, basically the Imperial fleet.
So he kind of comes in between Jedi and Force Awakens.
Correct.
Okay.
But this was before The Force Awakens was a thing.
This was way back, like, after the Return of the Jedi ended. These were novels that were, like, back in the 90s.
Right.
Okay.
So this Force Awakens hadn't even been considered yet.
Okay.
And this was all stuff that happened in the 10 years following Return of the Jedi, according to the canon.
And basically, he's in charge of what is the remnants of the Empire.
Yeah. So he takes over what Palpatine...
Pretty much, he's the leader of the last bit of the Empire, and his first in command, Paelion is the guy's name, is another head honcho in the military, and the two of them are kind of running around trying to destroy the last bit of the Rebel Alliance. And he was a really well-written character. I mean, all of those books were well-written, so you really got a good feel for who this character was. And if you play the Star Wars card game or anything like that, he's in there. Grand Admiral Thrawn, all these Timothy Zahn characters are in there. So to have that be wiped out was a little emotionally hard on a lot of us.
and the way they did it was they just said, all right, all this stuff gets what's called legend status. We're not saying that it didn't happen, but we're not saying that it did.
Exactly. And then, if you look at it, I mean, when you take something like Ben Solo, who's now canon because he's Kylo Ren.
Right.
That was the name of Luke Skywalker's and Mara Jade's son.
But he was Ben Skywalker.
He was Ben Skywalker, so not Ben Solo. But so they're taking like aspects of these things
little
and borrowing
some stuff, you know. And the cool thing about it to me is that I feel like when they're willing to put that into the show, and it makes that character canon. While I don't think we would ever see Thrawn in a movie, you know, like in a big budget, you know, Star Wars movie, I think it opens the door for to get other cool characters like Kyle Katarn, you know, or
Mara Jade.
Well, I don't think they would do Mara Jade unless they're going to like specifically delve into the Luke Skywalker stuff. But
right.
So I don't know if they would do that. But
well, they said that even Thrawn's going to be different than what he was in the books, so they could still introduce her.
Yeah, they could,
but not make her Luke's wife. You know,
boy, that would fucking power everybody down so fast.
Well, yes, it would.
That would be a collective power down, like Obi-Wan powering down the fucking tractor beam of the Death Star. Like,
boo!
What do you mean they're not married? But, you know, and then like, the Darth Bane books were so good.
Yes.
It, you know, and there was the rumors about the, you know, Netflix that was they were going to make 3 Star Wars shows. And I was just like, man, God, it's a fucking Darth Bane show.
I would say that those Bane books are right up there with the Zahn books as far as being the best Star Wars books you can possibly read.
Because there was supposed to be a live-action Star Wars show, and I remember they were supposed to film overseas. I'm trying to remember what place, because they opened up like a Lucas Studios out overseas. I'm trying to remember where it was, but I want to say it was in Asia or somewhere, something like that. But nothing's ever come of it.
Yeah, nothing yet. They keep every now and then you see something pop up in the internet like they're doing it.
I mean, Disney owns it, so they're gonna do it.
They're gonna make
as much because they're doing a theme park, but
it's going to be a Netflix original.
Star Wars Rebels 3, these characters are coming back in it.
Yeah, this one character so far, Grand Admiral
Thrawn. So to me, I think it's cool because it opens the door specifically for all of the, you know. And you know, the Rebels in the Clone Wars show, you know, those guys like all those books that have read all that stuff. So, like, you know, things that were technically not really supposed to be canon, like the Night Sisters were created in the books. You know, those ended up making it into, you know, and they're canon technically because they were in the Clone Wars.
All right.
So very cool.
And they also teased that Ahsoka is not dead, right?
Yes, she appears at the end of the first season.
Right.
And in the second season, which I haven't seen, I heard there's a moment where she basically confronts Vader.
And the planet explodes on her or something like that. And she's supposedly not finished on the show. So she may be coming back. She may be a Force ghost. We don't know.
But there's so much.
Yeah. So much going on.
And then there's a little more Star Wars news. They wrapped the principal photography on Star Wars 8.
Star Wars 8? Really? Yeah. So you're not talking about Rogue One. You're talking about the actual episode 8.
The actual episode
which 8. Which doesn't come out for another year and a half.
Yes.
Correct.
So they're going to spend a lot of time editing then. Maybe reshoots, maybe. But we don't know.
Well, and the other cool thing is, unlike any other Star Wars movie, this one picks up immediately where the other one left off.
So it'll just be...
It's going to pick up, you know, with Luke staring at Rey.
Rey handing up the saber.
Well, yeah, because how can you not cut away? Because the other ones kind of wrapped everything up, and then a few months maybe go by. But here, yeah, it's like cliffhanger, like, who are they? We know who he is, but who is she?
Yeah.
Where is it going?
Well, when you go from Empire to Jedi, though, you never really know how much time elapses, like how, you know... How much time was Han actually in Carbonite?
Don't hear anything about Dash Rendar or Prince Xizor or anything.
Exactly.
Wow. You guys are...
Shadows of the Empire even had a soundtrack. Now, that Shadows of the Empire was supposed to be the story that took place between Empire and Jedi. And they were so close to wanting to make this a real thing that they made a soundtrack for the movie that didn't happen.
Did John Williams do it?
I don't think so. But, I had the CD. when I was a kid. And it was good. I guess it was just a soundtrack to listen to while you read the book.
There was a video game tied to that, too, wasn't there?
And then, Nintendo 64. Dash Rendar was the main hero in that one.
Okay.
He had a ship called the Outrider. It was awesome.
Man, we have gone deep into Star Wars. I really like it.
Balls deep.
Balls deep. So, continuing with the Star Wars thing, you took part in this new video game thing for Star Wars, is that right?
Well, Star Wars Battlefront, it's been out for a while now.
Right.
Jeremy and I have a love-hate relationship with this game.
For people who haven't played it or don't know about it, what is Star Wars Battlefront?
Star Wars Battlefront is a game created by EA and DICE.
Mm-hmm.
DICE was the creators of Battlefield, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Star Wars Battlefield type game.
So it's there's no campaign, it's just multiplayer.
Mainly, there is some single player stuff, but it's throwaway.
There's no story with it.
Yeah.
You're basically playing multiplayer levels just, you know, with
bots. So the main game is multiplayer team versus team, Rebels versus the Imperials.
And it's open world,
I wouldn't say it's open world, but it's just like any other team, like Halo type game, something like that. Except it's probably a little bit bigger.
Okay.
It's a beautiful game. They did a lot of attention to details. It sounds incredible. They've got the music. So it's fantastic in those regards. But it's just one of those games that feels bad. Jeremy and I have tried to peg exactly why we can't stand this game. And we've never really been able to figure it out.
It's just like a million little things that just drive you insane.
It's death by a thousand cuts. Because there's not one thing where you're like, this is awful. I hate this specific aspect. But there are a million things where you're like, that detracts from the fun.
And so the way it'll work is, we won't play it for a couple weeks. And then one of us will start playing it again and then get the other one to start playing it. Because we want to like the game so bad. It's killing us that we can't, that we don't like the game.
We are two true Star Wars fans over here.
And we love the original Battlefront games. Like, the original Battlefront games, we played together for hours. So, for this one to not really live up to the standard of those games is a little hard.
It's emotionally difficult for us.
And typically what happens, we'll start playing, we'll play it for a couple days, and then I think we played yesterday for an hour, and then we're just like, we finally turned off, like, I can't take this.
So we do it. We're like, let's play some Battlefront. We play for an hour, maybe two, if we're feeling...
It's like, oh, I always forget how great this game looks. And then 30 minutes, I'm just like, fuck!
This game sucks. I hate it. And so we do get burnt out really fast because it's just... It's unbalanced. It feels like shit.
I still keep coming back.
We still keep coming back because we want to like it so bad.
So, yeah, they need to put Knights of the Old Republic 2 on Xbox One so you can backwards compatible play it, right?
Yes, something like that. I mean, I think you can play Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 on 360 still, which I do. But, you know. But anyway, so I got the season pass for this Star Wars Battlefront game.
So what is season? What is
the season pass includes all of the DLC that they're releasing for it.
Okay.
They just are getting ready to release the third out of four DLC packs for this game.
So the new maps, new characters?
Yes, all of the above.
And what they do is, like, with each pack, it's so... it's just kind of like general worlds. Like, it's like Sullust, and there's like a little bit of Tatooine. And what else?
In the DLC?
There? No, in the just the regular game.
There's Hoth. There's Endor.
There's some Hoth. There's some Endor.
There's the big, a lot of the really big locations from the movies, original trilogy.
And then the DLCs are world based.
Okay.
Mostly. So the second DLC is Outer Rim, and so it's like Jabba's Palace and that kind of stuff. And then the third one is Cloud City. So
the second one is Cloud City.
Sorry, second one is Cloud City. So Bespin. And the third one is you're on the Death Star and.
Okay.
And the fourth one, which so they haven't released the Death Star one yet, but that's coming out. The fourth one's going to actually be tied into Rogue One.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be a planet from that movie.
So from the posters, it looks like it's tropical.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be like that beach kind of environment. You get to be Jyn Erso and one other character. I think the guy that was dressed all in white from that movie.
So how much is the season pass?
It's $50.
So does that just get you four, or does that get you for lifetime?
Well, there's only four that they're making of the DLC, and then they're like moving over to Battlefront 2, which is coming out next year, they said.
So basically you're paying for another game for all the DLC.
Basically. But I was really on the fence about if I wanted to get it,
because you just said, like, this game sucks.
Yes. It's a game that makes you want to throw the controller. But I've been wanting to get it. It's like, you know, I want to explore Jabba's palace. I want to go around the carbonite freezing chamber and stuff like this. I want to be Lando. But $50 for a game that sucks? I don't know. And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get it because it's been bothering me. It's been just eating away at me. And once they were like, okay, we're putting out the Death Star, which is the next full expansion that's coming out. You get to be Chewbacca and you get to be Bosk, who's a bounty hunter from Empire Strikes Back. The guy looks like a lizard. And you get to be these guys. You get to be playing around the Death Star. I was like, okay, fine. I'm just going to get it. Whatever.
So have you used any of it yet?
I have. And it's surprisingly fun. The expansions, the problem is that they've got this weird segregation of the playlists.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like where you'd just be playing the main game modes, and then they'll throw in some of the new DLC. Like, you have to select the DLC mode.
Oh, weird.
So it's completely separate, and you're officially only playing with a very small group of people.
Because with most games like that, the DLC, it just becomes a part of the main game. But here, you have to actually go into a menu and click, I want to play this new DLC.
Exactly.
Which, that's weird.
It is weird, and I feel like it makes it so even people like me who have the content, we're not spending all of our time accessing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily only want to play those maps and those modes. So it's a little bit stupid the way they did it. But it looks great. I mean, it really feels good, actually, for the first time, like, doing these Jabba's Palace maps and stuff like that. So it's fun.
So,
but I wouldn't say it's worth $50. So unless you're a huge Star Wars fan.
It's good and terrible.
If you're a huge Star Wars fan, get it, because it's worth it.
But
outside of that, don't even waste
your
money.
You've heard it. He hates the game, but he also loves the game.
Jeremy's the same way, I think.
Well, I haven't. So I played a little bit of Battlefront, and it looks cool. I have not gotten into it yet.
There's no reason to.
They're even talking me out of getting the game.
I don't think you'd care. I mean, you're not a big giant Star Wars fan, right?
I love Star Wars. I like Star Trek better.
See, which get is the weird. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, see, there you go. If there's a Star Trek game like that, yes.
Yeah.
But there's never been a good Star Trek game.
Hey, you haven't played Timelines on iPhone.
What is that? That's a whole nother show.
No, that's terrible too. Don't buy it.
Okay, dang it.
There was the Fleet Commander on Super Nintendo.
But was
Star
that
Trek.
Good though?
No, it was terrible.
But like Star Wars games have always been like Knights of the Old Republic. What was the?
We had Lucasfilms who right. did crank out some really great content, especially in the late 90s.
Yeah.
There was a strong point. Early 2000s, late 90s, we had some really great games.
Right.
Then they started sucking. Force Unleashed.
The Force Unleashed was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
I love the Force Unleashed.
It wanted to be awesome. I wanted it to be awesome, too.
I loved it. I love the Force. I played that. I remember you playing that, too, or getting those achievements on Xbox. I love that mm-hmm. game. I like that game. I know you didn't. But, yeah, I don't know. I like Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars fan.
But you like Star Trek better.
Correct. I will. So. If
you can't,
either one
you,
we're
you can't
on,
do
I
both.
Would do. You can't do both. I will always pick Star Trek. I think. I don't know. I just that's the way I go. I guess that's the way. Is there anything else? What else have we got? What else do you want to talk about? Anything? No.
How much time we got left?
We got like 10 minutes left.
I don't know. What do you have for lunch today?
I haven't had lunch today. I will say this. I did see Star Trek Beyond. I loved it.
We talked about that in the last show.
Yeah, we did. So yeah. You're seeing that soon, right?
I'm going to see that this weekend.
Correct. I saw Jason Bourne.
Oh, what did you think of that?
I didn't like it.
Oh.
That's unfortunate.
How do you feel about the other three movies?
I like the first one, the Doug Liman one. I don't like the Paul Greengrass stuff, really. And I could give a shit about the Jeremy Renner one. I was secretly hoping that they would mention Jeremy Renner by Hawkeye or by Jeremy Renner in the new one, but they didn't.
So why is Jeremy Renner not in this one?
Yeah, it's not that good. There's a scene in there that's pretty good, but yeah, no.
You like those movies, right? The Bourne movies?
I do enjoy the Bourne movies.
Then you might like, if you like Paul Greengrass, you like that choppy cut style every 2 seconds, and you like Bourne, you probably like it, but I didn't like it. I think it's for diehard Bourne fans, I think, because you get to see Matt Damon in it again, even though he has only a few lines in the movie. I mean, he's in it.
Matt Damon!
Exactly. Matt Damon.
So you know what I was watching last night that I haven't seen in a while, and I almost forgot how much I love these movies.
Wrestling?
No. The Addams Family movie.
Oh! On Netflix, they have the second one, right?
No, they have both.
Oh, they have both.
Yeah, they have both the... what's the guy's name that directed those? Barry Sonnenfeld?
Yeah, Barry Sonnenfeld, yeah.
So he did both Addams Family and Addams Family Values. And they're both amazing.
They hold up so well today. Like, especially because if you look at those movies, Morticia and Gomez, they are some of the... They're, like, the best parents anybody could ask for. But they're... They do their they treat their kids like their family, like but they always look after them. Like,
but that's the romance.
Them.
That's the true romance. I mean, really, you can watch a million like love movies and nothing. Nobody's got a better relationship than Morticia and Gomez in those two movies.
Right. And I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to learn the mamushka.
Yes.
Dance the mamushka. It's such a good. Like the acting in there. Like Christina Ricci is so funny, especially when she goes to summer camp in the second movie.
Oh, that's priceless. And just the facial expressions that she sports throughout the whole movie. It's so perfect. And Christopher Lloyd.
Unrecognizable Christopher Lloyd in like a big suit. Just
and bald with the dark circles under his... And he's so funny.
It's like, so we recasted before Adam's Family. And it's just so difficult to recast like somebody like Raul Julia or somebody as Angelica Houston, because they feel like they were born to play those roles.
Whoever did the casting for those movies just hit it out of the park.
They really did.
It was perfect.
Do you remember those movies? Do you remember The Addams Groove by MC Hammer? I have that album on vinyl.
Of course you do.
Yeah. And like Lurch and The Thing, The Hand. Oh, I remember in the recast for Addams Family, we recast Thing, The Hand, as James Franco's hand, just because it seemed like it would be like something he would say yes to. Just use my hand. Something to add to his resume.
Okay.
But yeah, there's so many good things on Netflix, and I'm just glad that, you know, some of these things, you know, leave every month. But Addams Family, it's one thing that hasn't been remade yet, and in a sea of remakes, I'm shocked that it hasn't been yet.
I'm glad, though, because it's so good.
They tried to do The Munsters on TV. It was called Mockingbird Lane, and it, like, the pilot, that was it.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, it was called Mockingbird Lane, because Munsters lived on Mockingbird Lane. So they were going to do it, but the pilot didn't do well, so they nixed it. So I'm surprised, because these are early 90s movies, and they have not been remade yet, and I feel like they have a very good opportunity to do it, because it is family-friendly, PG-13.
It's hard, though, because when I hear, like, it's early 90s, I still think, so, like, 10 years ago?
Yeah, no, that's not the, that's not the case.
My brain is stuck thinking
that's
it's
more
than
20 years ago. Jeremy was only 40 then.
Yeah. Now, what's the last thing you guys watched on Netflix that you guys were both really into?
I mean, Stranger Things right now.
Okay, so you're watching Stranger Things, and that's your Netflix hit at the moment.
Absolutely, right now. That, I mean, because with Netflix, I love that they release everything at once, but there's certain shows where I don't want to overload on it because it
you
can
stretch
kind
it
of
out?
Ruin it.
Yeah.
So I watch a couple episodes like every night or every other night or something like that, and it works. And Stranger Things is like, it's like you took the 19...
Now, Brian is doing the Italian finger, like ooh, it's like...
The explosion. To quote Louis. But, yeah, it's like 1980s, E.T., Spielberg, The Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Nightmare on Elm Street. It brings all of this together in one show.
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me. Like, it is so good. I just can't. Even the titles, the opening titles, the music, it brings you back to that 1980s where, you know, kind of like how E.T. is so special to me and, you know, special to a lot of kids, is that what this show Stranger Things does is it takes place with all these kids around, like, you know, they're in middle school and something outrageous happens, like, you know, an alien or a monster, and none of the adults seem to really believe them, but it's up to these kids to really make sure these things happen. And, like, they're the only people in this world that can succeed.
Just like Monster Squad.
Yes, yes, absolutely. The Monster Squad is one of those great things, and that's what I love about that show.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jeremy, what about you? What are you enjoying on Netflix at the moment?
Well, I finished Stranger Things, like, last week. I don't think there's really, like, one thing that I've been going through there and watching. There is a show that's an animated show that DC did for a while called Young Justice, and it was the Teen Titans, and the idea was that it was all these sidekicks of, like, it's like Robin and, you know, Kid Flash and everybody, and it's like they're tired of being, you know, the sidekicks, so they kind of formed their own team. And they did two seasons of that show, and it was pretty good. I would have got canceled, and so everybody's hoping that it's going to get brought back as a Netflix show. And so every now and then I'll just kind of go in there and like watch it and like just like plow through those two seasons. That way it's just like
showing that it's popular.
Yeah,
just one
I'm
guy.
I'm doing my part. Getting made. So and every now and then, like you know, the one of the dudes who created the show, he'll go have like a meeting with the Netflix guys, and he'll tweet about it saying, "Hey, I'm going to review show data for you know for Young Justice,
right?
With the Netflix crew."
Cool.
Sweet.
And you?
I've been watching two things lately on Netflix. I've been watching That 70s Show, because that's kind of my every night, just kill some time, hang out with my wife kind of show. And then I've been watching Aquarius. Have either of you guys heard about that?
I've heard of Aquarius. I haven't seen it.
It's David Duchovny. Mm-hmm. I believe he's one of the producers, too. And he stars as a detective working on the Charles Manson case in the 60s.
Right, yes.
And it's really, really good. I would say it's up there in quality of similar to Californication, because okay. I think Duchovny produced that one as well. And it's just got a killer soundtrack, everything about it. So the guy that played Renly Baratheon in Game of Thrones plays okay. Charles Manson and Sweet. Does a damn good job, I believe it.
Awesome.
So I would highly recommend that to anyone who likes that kind of cop thriller type show.
That's cool. On my list. And I'll just mention this other thing on Netflix. The new Voltron show, the animated Voltron show,
Dude,
was actually surprisingly...
That show was great.
Really good. And they're doing a second season.
Yeah, in like 6 months.
Yeah. It was surprisingly really good.
It ended and I was like, if I have to wait a year after that ending, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
And then like I saw that like a week ago. They were like, in a few months or whatever, there's going to be the rest of the more episodes. And I was like, okay, good.
Yeah. No, yeah. If you remember Voltron, they rebooted it animation form. And it's solid. Rock
yeah,
solid.
It's good.
It is good.
It looks great.
So, yeah, that's Mediocrity. Episode 6. 6 weeks. We'll be back with the lucky number 7 next time, where we go through all the deadly sins. Sexually.
We just act them out on Jeremy.
Yeah, that's what we do. It'll be a video podcast this time.
We'll put it on Periscope.
Periscope and do it. So
podcast episode of Salo.
You still need to watch that. Tell us where they... All our... Two listeners now.
Two all listeners right, all
can
two
find
listeners,
us on social media.
They're probably already following. But for those who aren't, the third listener, we've got Twitter, which is media_Ocrity. We've got Instagram, which is the same, media_Ocrity. And then Facebook, which is, if you just search for MediaOcrity, one word, boom, we will show up.
We will show up. Tell us that you love us. And we'll be back next week with more.
And we'll try to think of some fun things to talk about. If you guys want to tweet us anything that you want us to talk about, do that as well.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some questions on social media and we'll answer them on the podcast for you.
Sounds good? Like good.
Good show, guys.